Rod Stewart's Stardust, The Great American Songbook, Volume 3, entered the Billboard pop chart at number 1 and continues the career revival of the British rocker whose career extends back to the late 60s when he sang for the Jeff Beck Group and Faces. Like its two predecessors, Stardust features orchestrated versions of pre-rock standards. Rock critic Ken Tucker considers Stewart's evolution, if you can call it that.
If you're of a certain age and temperament, you may find Rod Stewart's Great American Songbook series less swonderful than swurrying or just plain slousy. The rooster-haired British howler who made classic rock albums like Gasoline Alley and Every Picture Tells a Story has become in the new century just that, a so-called classic rock artist, consigned to oldies or middle-of-the-road radio stations when played at all. So you might think Stewart is just selling out by turning his back on rock and crooning to baby boomers who don't care that his version of Isn't It Romantic cannot compare with, say, Ella Fitzgerald's or Bing Crosby's.
Isn't it romantic? Music in the night, a dream that can't be heard. Isn't it romantic? Moving shadows right, the oldest magic word. I hear the breezes playing in the trees above, while all the world is saying you are meant for love. Isn't it romantic?
The thing is, Rod Stewart has always been willing to do whatever it takes to prop up a career that commenced with artistic triumphs. His discography is dotted with half-baked but enthusiastic commercial efforts. His 1978 disco move, Do You Think I'm Sexy, was as big a hit as a great piece of music like 1971's Maggie May. And it's telling that in the late 70s it was disco, not punk, that Stewart felt more kinship with. After all, this is the guy who's gone by the nickname of Rod the Mod. Raised poor and rough, a scrappy soccer player with a scratchy voice, he was always a chaser of fashion. Outraged nostalgists probably forget that even when he was first singing Maggie May in Gasoline Alley, he was applying eyeliner and tights for stage performances. What I mean is, Stewart has always been a showman, not a tiresome upholder of working-class authenticity.
Night and day, you are the one. Near to me or far, it's no matter, darling, where you are, I think of you night and day, day and night.
The current phase of Stewart's career revival follows a pattern established in 1983, when Linda Ronstadt, having tried to go punk, or at least new wave, 3 years before, with scant success, hooked up with arranger Nelson Riddle to release What's New, a glossy collection of standards that went double platinum and saved her career. She, like Stewart, also followed up that success with two quick sequels. Subsequently, and with varying degrees of quality, everyone from Carly Simon to Willie Nelson to Katie Lang were warbling Gershwin and Hoagy Carmichael. Stewart's fallback move was masterminded by Clive Davis, the Arista Records founder who revived Aretha Franklin's career a decade ago, and is still so canny a selector of material that the winners of American Idol go to him for advice. That I am mentioning Rod Stewart and Clay Aiken in the same breath suggests what a dim view I take of these proceedings.
I've flown around the world in a plane,
I've settled revolutions in Spain. The North Pole I have charted, but I can't get started with you. And at the golf course.
In the press bio that accompanied Stardust, Stewart admitted that when he first recorded these songbooks, he told Clive Davis at one point, "I think we should shelve the whole bloody thing. I feel like a rock and roll sellout." Nowadays, Stewart is filling concert halls offering his greatest rock hits, plus a hefty portion of these awkwardly phrased, schlockily arranged standards. Lots of times, I kind of like this music precisely because Stewart is so lurchingly mediocre at it. He comes across less as mercenary than sheepish, and desperate behind an album cover that depicts him as a suave, middle-aged geezer standing in front of a hot-legged, much younger woman. It's only that whiff of desperation and its accompanying breeze of guilt that breathes any life into Stewart's deadly determination to sell records no matter what the cost, to the consumer or to his reputation.
Ken Tucker is film critic for New York Magazine.